This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further along in Proverbs chapters 13 and 14 with hope deferred, whoever walks with the wise, a faithful witness, the backslider, and strong confidence. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray for your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, and bitter sufferings and death,
upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the 6th hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Massa and Meribah, quarreling and testing. That is what Moses called the place where today's lesson happened. Testing and quarreling. How well this describes your Christian life. Your life contains many times of testing. When God blesses you with trials and tribulation to train up your faith. But as a sinner, you too often respond to these blessings with quarreling toward God, arguing against his grace, testing his patience and his mercy toward you. And in such times, you thirst. You thirst for relief from your testing and quarreling, but all too often you find no relief. Nevertheless, God does not abandon you. Rather, he quenches your true thirst with living water from the spiritual rock, Jesus Christ. Today's Old Testament lesson finds the people of God somewhere between the Red Sea and the Jordan, even as you are between baptism and death in the wilderness of sin. God had brought them this far, out of Egypt and through the sea. God had delivered them from the armies of Pharaoh and had miraculously provided them with bread, manna from heaven. And now God had chosen to send them times of testing. He had allowed them to experience thirst, just as he would experience thirst for them upon the cross. And yet the people complained, "Why is it that you have brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" They did not trust God. They did not trust that God, who had been so graciously providing them with all of their needs so far, would continue to lovingly give them everything they need. Now, it would be easy to condemn their lack of faith. But before you do that, you better consider your own life. God has graciously provided you with everything that you need. He has delivered you from the armies of Satan, drowning your enemies in holy baptism. He has preserved you through the wilderness of sin and has brought you alive to this very day. And yet, how do you respond when God sends some testing to train up your faith? How do you quarrel when God allows you to experience some thirst, some lack of good in your life? Now, perhaps you don't grumble as loudly as those Israelites. Perhaps you do. But do you count it all joy when you fall into various trials, as St. James exhorts you? More often in this country, where gross materialism is considered a virtue, it's not some lack of need about which you complain. Rather, you tend to compare what God has given you with what he has given others. And you will always find someone who has more than you. And for this reason, you thirst for more. More money, more property, more honor, more popularity, more free time, and so forth. And in comparing your blessing to another's, you become dissatisfied with what the Lord has given to you. And so you complain. Is your eye evil because the Lord is good and generous to your neighbor? Has he not graciously provided you with everything you need to support this body and life? All of these blessings are his to give, to distribute as he sees fit. Dare you complain against your gracious Lord? Now, how does God respond to your complaints against his grace? How does he respond to your quarreling and rebellion? In spite of your rebellion, in spite of your quarreling, God graciously and even miraculously provides for your every need. Not only does he provide for your physical needs, but most especially, God provides for your spiritual needs. He gives you bread from heaven on which to feast. He graciously gives you refreshing, living water from the rock to drink, and drink deeply. As Moses struck the rock with his rod and water gushed out, so Christ was stricken in his side and living water and blood came out. And God gives you this water to drink in. Drink deeply with your ears as you hear the gospel of forgiveness and holy absolution. He gives you that living blood to drink in his holy supper, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. He gives you bread to eat, bread from heaven, to feast upon his word as you taste the word made flesh in the supper. And in all of these ways, God responds to your quarreling with his gracious forgiveness, purchased with the precious blood of Christ, that stricken rock. For Christ is that rock. St. Paul was not the first holy penman to call Christ the rock, as he does in 1 Corinthians 10. The promised Messiah was called the rock in many places throughout the Old Testament. In fact, this lesson from Exodus 17 is the first place in the Bible that the word tsur, rock, is used. And even though this is its first appearance, God uses the definite article. It is the rock in Horeb. Now, it would be unusual to use the definite article unless that rock were well known. Also note that Sur is a flinty rock, a rock from which proceeds fire, even as the Holy Ghost proceeds from God the Son. You see, Christ had been revealing himself to his people as the rock all along and throughout the Old Testament. St. Paul's statement was nothing new. Christ is that rock. This is a message of comfort for you. He is the rock of your salvation. And your salvation is solid and immovable because you are built upon that rock. And when the trials and temptations of this life assail you, when you are threatened on every side, Jesus is that rock, your mighty fortress, your stronghold. And when your faith grows weak, even unto death, Jesus is that rock who pours out rivers of living water for you, filling you with his Holy Spirit. And so filled with the Holy Spirit, the faith that he inspires becomes your faith. And that faith can withstand all of the testing and all of the quarreling of this life. As Moses smote the rock in Horeb, so the rock of your salvation was smitten by God and afflicted. He was smitten as he died upon the cross, even in the sight of the elders of Israel. He was smitten, and out of his riven side gushed living water along with holy blood. Drink. Drink deeply of that water, O children of Israel. Drink deeply, as I declare to you, by that rock cleft for you, your sins are forgiven. Drink deeply of that water in your baptism, for through that living water you have been born anew, and you have become a son of God. Drink deeply of that water, for through this water God has washed you clean from every sin. Even in this wilderness of sin, he has quenched your deepest thirst. All the times that you have compared his blessings to you with his blessings of others, all the times you've cast an evil eye toward heaven, quarreling, for all those times, you are forgiven. All of the times you've contended against God and complained against his grace, for all those times, you are forgiven. All of the times that you have tested his divine patience, for all those times, you are forgiven. He gives you living water to drink along with his life-giving blood flowing from the riven side of that rock. Drink of it, all of you, for that rock is Christ. Amen.
Amen.
In our prayers, we remember Deaconess Andra Gates, who's also in our PhD program, whose husband Gary has died following a very brief illness. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the Church of Christ in this and every place, for faithful pastors and missionaries who boldly proclaim the message of repentance and forgiveness, and for courage that we may all joyfully tell others of the hope that is within us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation and for all public servants, that God would give them wisdom to lead us according to his will, and for all those who serve in the military, that they may be protected from harm as they carry out their duties, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are injured, infirm, or suffering from bodily weakness, that our merciful Lord would grant healing and strength. For those who suffer under the burden of loneliness, that our Savior would strengthen them with his peace. And for those who mourn the death of loved ones, including Andra, that our gracious God would comfort them with the good news of Christ's victory over death and the grave, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the saints who lived by faith in Christ and now enjoy everlasting life, we give thanks to God. For all who live now by faith in the Son of God, that they may follow the example of the blessed saints, live by the same grace of God, and together with them worship God in spirit and truth, both now and to eternity, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, Christ, thou Lamb of God.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting.
Amen. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.